Hello everyone, Pastor Steve here at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well today. Thanks so much for praying for our revival meeting. It was a terrific meeting with Evangelist Dave Young and his team and family here. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you missed one of the evenings, then go back to our webpage, wiltonbaptistchurch.com, and there you can click on where it says messages. It'll say messages, and it goes to our sermon audio player, and you can listen, download, or watch the services there, and maybe you want to go back and listen to them again anyway. That'd be great. Also, let's be praying for our students. We're back into the swing of things with school, and some sports teams are already in action, and it's an exciting time of year for young people. Also, a lot of adjustments for students back in school, so be praying for students, and be sure that you can find ways to encourage them. We've also started our Awana Bible Discipleship for kids and families, and please pray for that. Thank you, everyone, for the great first day, and we had such a good team effort in our first session last Sunday, and we look forward to continuing this year in teaching our kids the scriptures. We're in the book of 2 Timothy, so if you would please find this. I was really glad to meet some folks that were new to me that I met during the revival meeting, and so please be praying for follow-up for them. And also some people who come to our scatter groups that I hadn't met in person yet. So that was a real blessing, and it was very special to meet them. So hi to all my friends watching in the scatter group. Now, we're planning to continue these scatter groups through November. So we'll continue going verse by verse through the book of 2 Timothy. And then, Lord willing, we'll resume and we'll reorganize the groups and start over in January. And then we'll do something a little bit different in the summertime. But that's kind of what our plan is right now, to continue in our discipleship of worship God Sunday mornings, walk with others. That's our scatter groups. That's also our Awana discipleship. And then win. And we win by serving God, by serving other people. So find yourself in that model and progress. That's our progression of discipleship. Worship God, walk with others, and then win others to Christ with our service. Okay, have you found it? 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are perhaps verses that are well known, and sometimes they're referenced by people. Maybe even if they're not Christians, they may sometimes reference these verses. I know the cartoon Charlie Brown, the little comic strip, Charlie Brown comments to Lucy in the cartoon Peanuts, "Someone has said that we should live each day as if it was the last day of our life." "Ah," cries Lucy, "this is the last day, this is it." And she dashes away screaming, "I only have 24 hours left, 24 hours left, help me, help me, help me, this is the last day, ah." And then Charlie Brown, left alone, he muses, "Some philosophies aren't for everyone." She was frantic living in the last day, just with that idea. I think it's good advice. Live as if each day is your last day. Make the most of each day, not in a selfish way, but in a way that glorifies the Lord. What if it were possible that we were living in the last days? Is that possible? Is it possible for us to know if we are living in the last days? Could we even discern that? Well, the Bible tells us what to expect in the last days. And the Bible also tells us that things will wax worse and worse. Things will just get worse and worse as we get further away from the resurrection of Christ and His ascension into heaven. And truly, the last days began when Christ ascended into heaven. And there's been different waves of revival and times of turning away from God. And there's been times of righteousness in nations and around the world, and times of great unrighteousness. And here we find that there's going to be some perilous days, some perilous times in the last days. And the last of the last days, if we study the Bible, the last of the last days are truly the tribulation. But ever since Christ left this earth, That's when the last days began. Every generation, every Christian generation has thought that perhaps they were living in the last days. The same is definitely true for us today. So could we even identify what the last days will be like as the world grows worse and worse? Because our world is worse off than it was a generation ago or two generations ago. Certainly, we're in a terrible spot in the way the world is developing and progressing in a rapid pace away from God. So here's how we can know about the perilous days. Here's what the last days are like. That's what we'll call our lesson here today. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, that means empty pretenders, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, as was Jannes and Jambres when they withstood Moses. So we're living in the last days. What are the last days like? Well, they're perilous times. Perilous times. This word perilous means hard. It's to do something or to bear something. It's difficult. Even violent is connected to this word, perilous times. In fact, when Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 8, he was talking about two demons who were giving people a hard time. And this is in Matthew 8:28, when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes. This is where a grave area was at. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. That's the word. That's the same word, perilous. Fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Giving a hard time, making it difficult to bear. It's a hard time to stay alive and to continue to hold your convictions and to live righteously in an unrighteous world. That's what we're talking about here. And Christian, I want to encourage you that you can keep living for Jesus in these last days. Keep living for Jesus in these last days. Now, there are three prominent characteristics that we find in this passage about the last days. And the first one is this, the acceptance and promotion of sin. The acceptance and promotion of sin. In these first four verses, Paul gives Timothy a list of 18, and when you look at verse 5 then, 19 things that are sins that are affecting the society. And they're not just accepted, they're not just tolerated, but in fact, they're promoted, they're pushed. The agenda is not just to accept it, but to make it normal, for everyone in everyday life. Now, all of this starts with men loving themselves. Notice verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then the list of the next 18 things. Selfishness is rooted in pride. And selfishness, it appears, is the start of the rest of these sins. Or at least in this list, that's the way that it appears. Pride. Think about selfishness. And the Bible tells us that we're to love God first. We're to love other people second. The Bible doesn't ever tell us that we're to love ourselves. Now, it assumes that where we're told, like in Ephesians 5, to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, and to love your wife as you love yourself. So it already assumes that we love, but our first command is to love God, and our second command is to love other people. Well, the premise of the rest of these sins are that men are lovers of their own selves. So selfishness, selfishness. Let's keep going on through these different sins. Covetous. So that's wanting something that does not belong to you. Boasters, I already told you what that means, an empty pretender. Do you know any boasters? It's like they're just talk, all talk, all talk. I'm the best, I can do this. And they're not really the best at anything. They want you to think that. Empty pretenders. Proud, that's arrogance. Blasphemers, so they abuse the name of God and they say things against God. And they are disobedient to their parents. Any teenagers, think about how you are responding to your parents today. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. So they're not thankful at all. They have a thanklessness about them. And unholy. Without natural affection. So they're loving things that they shouldn't be loving. You think about people who are choosing spouses of the same sex or partners of the same sex. And you think about mothers who, instead of caring for that little baby, they don't even bring it into infancy. They kill it before it's born. And what a tragedy that is. That's unnatural affection. Both examples are very prominent today. And things that are not the way that God made us to be. The next phrase is truce breakers. So they're saying peace, but they're not really meaning peace. They are irreconcilable, as that definition could be understood. Truce breakers. They're false accusers. So they'll bring a false accusation against somebody. Incontinent. That means without self-control. And they're also brutal. Brutal. Just very fierce. That's the word there. Fierce. Brutal. And bloodthirsty in a sense. And despisers of those that are good. Hey, you goody-two-shoes, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And why don't you do this with me? And well, no, they're too good for that. And making fun of the righteous. You know, that happens in academic settings all across America every day, in government schools, even in Christian schools, where the kids who want to do what's right many times are made fun of. How about the next phrase? Traitors? Heady? Heady has to do with the reckless, and then they are high-minded. That's very haughty and arrogant. And notice then, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Just if it makes you feel good, do that. And having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So there's an acceptance and a promotion of sin. We see that on a daily basis. You just watch just about any television show today, many of them, and they'll promote immorality as if it's common and accepted and even promoted many times. So you got to be careful of how you're training your mind to accept or to tolerate or even to promote what is wrong. I read some Facebook posts and posts from Christians, and many times they're saying the same things as the lost people who are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing to see. Acceptance and promotion of sin. Number two, there's a denial of what is biblical and godly. Now, I almost wrote spiritual, of what is spiritual and what is godly. But there are many spiritual, quote, spiritual people today who are not spiritual with the Holy Spirit. And maybe they are lovers of nature, maybe they are lovers of humanism, they love themselves, or maybe they are embracing a demon. And those are all spiritual type things as well, that are alternatives that people may turn to other than the Holy Spirit. But a Christian is spiritual, his spirit is renewed, his spirit is alive because of the Holy Spirit, who is living in him. That took place at that moment you trusted Christ. You became quickened or alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, under the guise of good, some people will follow a demonic spirit. Some people follow a humanistic spirit. And others, they follow a naturalistic, let's look at nature type spirit. And they may have a form of godliness even. Some people who would say they're Christians even have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Holding to a form of godliness, one person said, having the outer semblance of it without its spiritual dynamic. And they're denying the power of true godliness. Now think about this. Sometimes we follow tradition more than we follow the Bible. And it's easy to do. because tradition is tangible. It's a list of do's and don'ts. But Christianity is more than a list of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. Too many Christians are too shallow to even know the difference between this is tradition and this is what the Bible really says. And that's why I made the difference in this point that there's a denial of the biblical and the godly. A list and do's and don'ts, it's not really from God. Listen, putting a tie on does not make a person holy. And we need to separate that in our mind to know that really holiness is a Bible thing. It's a true Christian from the inside out living with Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. It's not just looking good on the outside. Religion can do that. People can have a form of godliness and say the right things and look the right way, like whatever we think is the right way in our culture, and really deny who Jesus really is and not even be born again. And so there's an acceptance of promotion in sin, a denial of the biblical and godly. Do you know whole denominations? Do you know anybody that says the right thing and look good, but it's just really shallow? And it seems like they're empty or they're really void of hope. Hey, they can look really good, but if they're void of hope, they're not really walking with Christ. They may not really know Jesus as their Savior. Some people give a false profession, and then they look the part. And there are some who, even though they believe lies, and they've lied to themselves so long about those lies, that they are denying the biblical and what really is godly. The third truth is this, absence of truth. This is amazing, verses 6 through 9. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden, or putting weight on them, with sins, led away with diverse lusts, or a diversity, various different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, they have their degrees, they have their classes, they have their credentials, but they really don't know anything. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Maybe underline that. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Here in verse 8, we find the word reprobate. It means disapproved. They're disapproved of by God. And they're the ones with a form of godliness. They're the ones misleading and the ones who are misled away from the truth. But the last days, here's something that will be prevalent, an absence of truth. Oh, that's a big deal today, isn't it? With all the fact checkers and who's telling the truth, which news agency can you trust, and which reporter's going to lie, or what the politician is going to say. And in this case, there are people, even in religious circles, who don't tell the truth. There are lustful liars who take captive in verse 6. And we have this picture of these stealthy creepers, if you would. They're creeping into houses and lead captive silly women. They're taking captive other people to capture them with their false teaching, with their lies, and with their premise of how they want to live. Or actually, they're going to lead them. They're going to lead them. That means to like control them and tell them, here's how to live and here's what you should do, like that. Well, in Titus 1, verse 11, the Bible says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Why are some creepers creeping into houses and teaching things that are wrong? Well, it's because of money. You know, a lot of things in our world today, the root of the problem is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so be able to discern in these last days. What's the motivation? What's the reason? Sometimes we can't tell. But we should be able to discern, is this truth or is this a lie, and be able to tell the difference. Notice these are silly women led astray. The phrase, the word silly women means little women. It could refer to society women. Think about some of the daytime talk shows and the women who are on there talking who are misleading the masses of people in our nation and others around this world. And just misleading. They believe lies and they're sharing those lies. They're spewing out those lies and other people are being led astray. They're following the lies that these silly women are propagating. And these women and these people of society never arrive at the truth. And I think it's such a sad verse, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Gnosos, they never can find the truth. They never can really know God, the truth, because they believed the lies and they're holding on to them. It's a pathetic picture, as one person said, a picture of these hypnotized women without intellectual power to cut through the fog of words and through, though always learning scraps of things, they never come into the full knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. And yet they pride themselves on belonging to intelligentsia. Oh, well, we're just really smart and we just really know. We're the elite and we know. And yet they don't really know the truth. Well, the illustration then is in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres. And to understand this, we need to go back to Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 13, because these two withstood Moses. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Wouldn't it have been something to have seen that rod become a serpent, and then Aaron's serpent eat and swallow up the other rods, the other serpents? Well, that's what happened. But think about this picture. Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres are the traditional names of the magicians who withstood Moses. In traditional history, it was Jannes and Jambres who led these magicians to oppose Moses, and they were the ones in that scene in Exodus chapter 7. And their end, the end of these, as verse 9 says, it was manifest unto all men. Just like Pharaoh and Jannes and Jambres and the other elites and the non-elites of society were led astray, people are being deceived today. Exactly the same way. And truth is being denied. Jesus is being denied. People are being taught lies and they believe it. Lies about their body, lies about creation and their origin and where they come from, lies about what is right and what is wrong, lies about humanism. Oh, there's lies all around us, and people are grasping those and believing those as truth. They're being misled, and Jannes and Jambres, oh, they have a lot of different names today, but they are people that are opposing Jesus Christ, and they are misleading people. It happens all around us. Christian, don't fall for it. Yes, we are living in the last days, but live for the truth. Live for Jesus. Don't get your eyes off of Christ. Do not be deceived in these last days that we are living in. Acceptance and promotion of sin, denial of the biblical and godly, and an absence of the truth. These are three characteristics of the last days. Life is a voyage over the ocean of time to the harbor haven of eternity. The last daily account of the logbook of Christopher Columbus' celebrated voyage reads this. Here's what he wrote on his last day. Sailed all this day due west, which was our course. That was the last entry. And of course, we know that he arrived in a new world. On the last day of our year, of our time on earth, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could write, sailed all day due heavenward, which was our course. Then at last, when all of our years are past, we shall reach the desired haven. Are you adrift and floating aimlessly? We know that we're going to heaven. Don't veer off course. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't fall for the lies that we see all around us each day. Let's keep sailing our life toward the Lord Jesus Christ and living based on truth. Friends, I hope that you're encouraged today and also challenged. Please take some time to pray with your scatter group or with those in your home and answer these discussion and application questions. God bless.